So I'm using a tool, but that hasn't affected that authorship issue. AI, however, and there's been plenty of this in the last 2 years, both courts and then now recently the Copyright Office itself has basically taken the general position that, you know, output from a large language model does not meet that definition of authorship. So it is not copyrightable. And man, I'll tell you what, there's a proliferation of creativity, of output, right? All kinds of works. Most people do not necessarily own that. It may be in your possession, so to speak. The point is, you may not have the right to control copies of it, or people deriving adaptations from it.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.
So I'm really excited today to be joined by Andy Nelson, a friend of mine, as my cell phone drops. No, it's good to get a chance to talk to you today. I'm really excited about not just seeing you again, but what you're going to talk about at Military Creator Con and talking about a little bit about your background today and, you know, kind of what you did. I feel like a podcast interview, but I definitely want to have people know what you did a little bit in the military and, you know, kind of how you got into law and that journey a little bit and kind of then lead into, you know, the type of people you work with right now. And of course, you've always been my go-to person for sending people your way for military and veteran-owned businesses, for trademarks and things like that. So
I'm excited. Look forward to talking about it.
Yeah. So Andy, so tell us, so for those that don't know who you are, I know you were in 82nd Airborne, if I remember right. You were an Army person. So could you, Army person. So could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. Yes. I did. I served in the 2nd 505th, which is part of the 82nd Airborne Division, back in 1991. So right after the Gulf War got over, and I was out in 94 before, well, really anything else happened. So a pretty uneventful but exciting time for somebody who was, of the age 18 to 21.
No, I love that. So tell me a little bit about, like, how did you get into law? Did you have an interest in that? How did that come to be? And then specifically choosing what you did in law?
You got it. I have been very consistent about my story over the years. I will tell it again. I did not have a plan. I went in the Army just to kind of get that I don't know what I want to do getaway and get some college money, because I just figured, you know, being a Gen Xer, you're kind of told, hey, you got to go to college. Okay. I didn't know what exactly I was going to do. But I also didn't have any money for it. So did the Army route to get that Army college fund and all that, and got to undergrad, and I still didn't exactly know what I wanted to do. I didn't have any lawyers in the family. My parents didn't even go to college, but I know I liked learning. I liked absorbing information. I mean, that was something that I really picked up in the Army, read a lot of books, that kind of thing. And hey, when I got done, I had a bachelor's degree in political science and history. So jobs abound for me, right? But before I ran into that roadblock, somehow, I don't know how I got pushed into it or pulled into it, but law school kind of became the next sort of like, hey, that's the next thing you got to do. If you got that degree and blah, 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 you got to go to law school. So it was kind of that. I mean, there was a lot of planning. I hate to say this, not a lot of planning that went into it. And I've looked a bunch to see exactly what drove me, but I just think I liked learning. I really loved learning things, love solving problems. And so law school seemed like the next, you know, just the next step in my academic career. So went on the West Coast, stayed. I was a Seattle guy at the time, stayed on the West Coast, but moved to California to go to law school. And then just to fast forward to your part to your question, I didn't know what I wanted to do in law school either. You know, I mean, was I going to be an insurance lawyer, a government lawyer? Was I going to be a personal injury lawyer? That was never really in the cards. But I just took, I will say this, I'll be quick. In my second year, you start to get to be able to take electives and things like that. I took a course the first semester. I still have the book. I think it was called Unfair Competition or something like that. And all of a sudden I'm looking at it going, oh, whoa, cartoons, breakfast cereal, like, you know, all these things like toys. I'm looking at all these things that I could relate to. Like, I can't relate to an insurance policy. I can't relate to a car crash, so to say, or injuries. But man, I can relate to like cartoons and Kellogg's and, you know, Coca-Cola and all that. All of a sudden, this is really interesting to me. So that's really what pulled me toward what I do today in large part. There's other parts to my practice, but the things I just mentioned are the sorts of things that I deal with on a daily basis now.
No, that's cool. And I think, you know, I want to really kind of get right into it on the, of course, AI is a big thing now. And I know you do, you speak probably to a lot of things related to copyright, not necessarily infringement, but just like how some of the newer technology, specifically the different advancements in AI, have impacted businesses and, you know, the law part of it. So could you kind of talk about maybe how that's, you know, some of the things you've seen recently and maybe some of the things that people, if they come and get a chance to see you, you know, in a few weeks, speak about this, you know, maybe some things that you're going to talk about.
Sure. Yeah, from a high altitude perspective, I'll say this. All of us kind of intuitively know what property is. And when we think about property, we think about things that we can see, you know, like personal property, this pen, this shirt I'm wearing. Or we think about real estate, real property, you know, this structure behind me, the ground that I'm on. Like, we intuitively understand what those are. We know what it means to kind of own them. We know what it means to basically have ownership. That means effectively, like, well, if I own it, I have the right to exclude other people from it. I have the right to sell it. You know, I mean, it's mine. But when it comes to these things that are intangible, what about an idea? What about content? You know, what about a super, super secret that gives me some sort of an advantage? How do I own that? A lot of people just say, well, I thought of it, therefore it's mine. Well, that's actually that sort of thing is much newer in the history of humanity, if you will. So governments over the last couple hundred years have had to kind of develop what it means to make that stuff like property, because it does have value. And in fact, it might be the most valuable property for a lot of businesses out there, not this physical stuff, but this other stuff. And so that there's always kind of a push pull. There's always evolution when it comes to this thing we call intellectual property, which covers trademarks. You mentioned copyrights. There are patents, there are trade secrets, and a few little sui generis sorts of things as well. But that is something that is just not intuitive. And if you don't do things right, number one, you can expose yourself to tons of liability you never imagined you'd ever be exposed to. Or on the flip side, you could leave the, you know, open the key, or you could give someone else the keys to the kingdom. Leave the gate wide open if you're not, don't do the right things to kind of protect the things you've built. And so that's the kind of thing that I'll talk about. It's going to be brief, of course, but I'll try to talk about some punchy things that are very common to really everybody, but creators in general, the kinds of things that they want to be mindful of. At least three things that they'll want to be mindful of that come up over and over again, maybe related to ownership of intellectual property, to avoid basically exposing yourself to, you know, unexpected liability. Those are the kinds of things. The things that you know, I'm not trying to kind of turn people into lawyers, but make really unfamiliar things a little more familiar so you're able to issue spot things. You're able to issue spot things and be more empowered. There is a reason I did go into the law at one point. I guess I forgot when I fibbed a little bit. I did have an experience, I think, when I was in my early 20s where maybe it was a lease or something I had a problem with, and I felt kind of powerless at the end of it. I didn't want to feel like that again. So I wanted to be knowledgeable, more knowledgeable. Now, that led me to being a lawyer. But not everybody needs to be a lawyer to be a little more savvy, you know, in legal arenas, and know a little bit more. These things are at your fingertips, but it's great when, you know, getting them, I guess, you know, from AI platforms or even, you know, Google, or, you know, historically. But it's good to have that, like, readily available in your brain, have a little more knowledge about it. Now, I answered a little bit of your question. I know you asked me about some of the developments. I don't know if you wanted to
talk about. Yeah, I guess let's talk, because I think it's cool. I've watched some of your content that you put out related to sort of newer things when it comes to AI and people's use of AI in their business, and you know, just some of the legalities of that. I think it's a very newer thing for businesses, of big or small, like developed businesses and newer businesses. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that, and I'm sure you're going to talk about some of it at Military CreatorCon as well. But just for today, if someone's listening, you know, maybe some of know, maybe what's on your, not on your mind, but, you know, some common things or some things that you're seeing or that you're helping people with.
Yeah. One of the biggest things that is evolving right now goes to whether you own something you create by using AI tools to create it. And that usually, that typically comes up in the copyright context. So it's not logos and names, you know, products and services, that's the trademark arena. Not really trade secrets so much, but it can come up in the patent arena, but principally the copyright arena. That's where you, and just so you know, that's copyright's usually what covers the things that creative output. So anything from literary works, you know, the writings that people create, photography, fine art, graphic art, audiovisual works, you know, just those sorts of original creations. That is the domain of copyright. And copyright law has always said, look, in order for you to own that, you got to create something original, but that doesn't mean that it has to never been done before. It just comes from you. It's not copied from someone else. Create something original, has a little bit of creativity, and copyright covers it. But you have to be an author. And the law basically says the author is a human being. So we all have historically maybe used tools. I mean, even if I write something, I have to use a pencil, you know, pencil or pen to create it, or I have to type it with a computer. So I'm using a tool. But that hasn't affected that authorship issue. AI, however, and there's been plenty of this in the last 2 years, both courts and then now recently the Copyright Office itself, has basically taken the general position that, you know, output from a large language model does not meet that definition of authorship. It's so it is not copyrightable. And man, I'll tell you what, there's a proliferation of creativity, of output, right? All kinds of works. Most people do not necessarily own that. You may have it, it may be in your possession, so to speak. The point is, you may not have the right to control copies of it, where people deriving adaptations from it, which is one of those are fundamental rights to copyright owners. So a lot of people are walking around with all kinds of fantastic content, giant content, and they probably can't really, they don't have the those things we talked about earlier that are kind of attributes of property ownership, the right to exclude, the right to keep people out, the right to, you know, sell or assign it. You don't have that. So that's a big issue. And I don't know, I think it's going to take an act of Congress to change that. I don't think the courts can really do that on their own. They can't just make up law. So it'd have to be Congress that would have to say, hey, we're changing the Copyright Act to change the definition of authorship to X, to include these things that are produced. Right now, it's just hard. So that's a big one. The other one, which is not going to affect most people out there, except from a complaining side, is that, and you've probably seen me do some of these videos, all these models, all these platforms are getting sued left, right, and center. I mean, all of them are, you know, even Claude, who kind of stands out as the one that people are like, oh, that's the moral one, and they've got their constitution and all that, they're getting blasted too. So all these platforms are getting blasted from all sorts of, you know, music publishers, you know, authors, you name it. So we're going to see how that we'll see how that comes out in the coming year or two. You know, what's the line between or where does reviewing things and using it as inspiration to create new things? You know, what's infringement and what is just being inspired by stuff? Because you and I can read a book and write another book. And so long as we have a certain amount of separation from it, that's another work, not infringing the copyright of that book. But if a large language model scrapes it and reads it, I think the general view right now is that's different than me and you doing it. And even if it creates something completely different and it wouldn't be infringing, somehow it did something wrong by reviewing that original material. I don't even know if I can articulate this like difference yet intelligently, but that's something that we're seeing right now as well with AI.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I think we'll continue to see that develop. I think, I'm sure we're a little ways into it, but I think we're still early enough that, as you're kind of talking about, I think there's a lot of things that need to be decided. Yes. And I don't think we're anywhere near them figuring that out yet. And I think, also, good or bad, they talk about the different tools, you know, whether it be Claude or the other ones, are only going to get smarter. They're as dumb as they're ever going to be. Not that they're dumb at all, but you know, they're it's only going to improve from now. So I think the issues regards to some of the things we're talking about legally, it's only going to be more so, more prevalent and then less. So it'll be definitely interesting, and you know, it'll give us something to talk about next year.
Absolutely.
In the continuing years on. So
yeah, and if I could just give any, not legal advice here, but any, I'll just call it educational words of wisdom. If people do want to own output, if they want to increase their chances, if they ever have to show or prove in a dispute somewhere that they actually own output, own copyright in their creations, the more human interactions they can put into it, you know, to the exclusion of the tool, is going to increase their chances that they actually owned something. But just putting in a prompt and saying, go for it, and getting wonderful content, you know, I know this is a general statement, but that's likely not going to lead to copyright ownership and not going to allow someone to say, you can't use that. You can't adapt that. It's kind of harsh. It seems terrible, but that seems to be the way that, you know, the law's coming out right now. So the more you can show that you are involved, the more iterations, the more input, you're helping yourself out.
No, I love that. You talked a little bit earlier. You, in your day-to-day, you work with a lot of different creative people and creatives. Tell me, you know, kind of what is it about people like that that excites you? Or because, you know, we're going to be around of some people we know and some people we don't know here in a few weeks. And, you know, we're kind of building out the military creative community. So kind of tell me a little bit about what you like you know, what's some pros and what's some things that excites you to be around those type people?
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. When I was younger, I was a pretty doggone good drawer. I had some creativity. I like jumped the shark. I don't know where it was, but I can't even draw a stick figure now. So I think, you know, when I came into this practice I've had for 25 years now, all of a sudden I realized, you know what, this is my way of actually being part of the creative process. You know, I mean, I'm helping people put, you know, guardrails on this stuff and actually turn it into property. And that excites me. So other people have the ideas and that sort of thing, and they've got the skill and the talent, which, you know, I've long since left somewhere else, but I get to be part of it. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see people create things. And I'm even more excited to see, or to be able to at least help them, give them some guidelines, or actively even help them to turn into something they really own, that they can say, this is my property. I put my blood, sweat, and tears into this, even if it was only for a couple of seconds, or maybe it was a long drawn out process, but it's mine. It's truly mine. I feel comfortable that's mine. I feel comfortable that the law tells me it's mine. And, you know, I have the opportunity to do something with it. You know, some ideas don't turn out to be anything. Some little simple ideas turn out to be mammoth game changers. But people get that opportunity and they feel secure in that it's not going to be like the rug is not going to be pulled out from underneath them. So I've always been excited to do that. I'm excited to, you know, dare I say an overused word, empower others to have a better idea of what they need to look out for, in order to ensure that they're just not giving their stuff away, you know, that it's actually theirs, that they do the right things to ensure that it is theirs. And like I mentioned earlier, avoid stomping on someone else's toes, because it happens far more often by accident than by intention.
No, I love all that. And it's so important to have someone like you in our corner. So I really appreciate the things you've done for different people that I've sent your way. You know, and I'll speak for myself and for the people that I know that do know you. You're really accessible. You're easy to reach out to and ask questions, and you know your stuff. Obviously you've been doing it for quite a while. Plus it's nice to, you know, kind of buy military for military kind of a thing. So, you know, I kind of want to use the time always at any time publicly that I can say thank you for all that you do. And, you know, really excited to hang out with you and, you know, learn with and from you, you know, at the same time and do, you know, I've gotten to, actually I met you at an event kind of like this. So, you know, really? To kind of be able to go to the parties and to hang out and have that much time, you know, definitely encourage people if they're going to be there to, if they have any questions at all, I mean, within reason, you know, to to get to know you, you know, and really take the time to, you know, take advantage of the time that you're there. So I thank you already ahead of time for that. And
well, thank you, James. I really appreciate it. And, yeah, and I love to talk about this stuff. So no one should hesitate to come up to me. And you know, while I can't give direct advice, I can still give a lot of. I can relay a lot of good info that's going to be helpful, and I do enjoy doing it. So, and hey, if I get to talk about that stuff as opposed to, you know, paying a bill or something, something I'd rather not do, hey, you know, please save me. Please save me. So I really look forward to it and look forward to seeing you there.
Awesome. Thank you again, Andy. Look forward to seeing you in a few weeks at Military CreatorCon, and thank you again for your time today.
Thanks, James. Really appreciate it.
At MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great X. Roger.